I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome our guest today. I've got George Jage. He's the CEO of Jage Media. George, good to have you on the show.
Jeff, it's a pleasure to be here. Really appreciate you making time to listen to our story.
Of course. Listen, I appreciate you making time to come on the show. And George, you've been out and about and everyone knows you in the industry and you've been around for a while. For everybody that's listening right now, George was the CEO of Dope Magazine. He was also the president of MJ Biz Daily. So he knows cannabis. He knows how to build networks. And, you know, you've been in the game for a while. But why don't we kick off the show and, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, what made you really start MJ Unpacked and maybe some of the things that you've actually seen in the space, maybe back in the day and really where we are today in 2022. Obviously, our industry moves so fast.
It does. I remember when I came into the space and listen, I've had a relationship with the plant since I was a very young adult in high school and in college. And, you know, it was always something I really enjoyed as part of my life. So, you know, kind of carving out this career where I developed a lot of very early stage kind of nascent market events for industries that were, you know, fast growth industries. And then being able to kind of bring that skill set full circle into the cannabis space, I kind of feel like I am doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing in my life right now. And, you know, in the early stages when I got in the industry and I took over as a president of MJ Biz Daily and MJ BizCon and, you know, rebranded everything under the current kind of nomenclature that they have and set up that company and the systems and the staff and everything else. And Chris Walsh was the only full-time employee before I joined. You know, the industry was just starting out and everybody was like getting licenses and nobody knew what a cannabis retail store looks like or should be like, or, you know, how do you set up an extraction facility and manufacture gummies or chocolate bars and, you know, run a indoor cultivation center. So everybody needed equipment back in the day in like 2015 through really 2018. But as you said, this industry goes so fast. And I think where, you know, the foundations of this business that I founded with my wife, Kim, and business partner, and she used to run World Team Media with me prior to this and was co-owner of that. And, you know, just there isn't anything that's really meeting the needs of the market at the moment. And I think that all of these shows that started out early in the industry and in a very hyper-competitive space, you know, all look and smell the same. They're supply-side shows. It's a lot easier for an event organizer to have an event that, you know, has ancillary companies so you don't have to really worry about, you know, having an event where there's cannabis products there. And that's still a challenge, obviously, you know, at a lot of venues and a lot of locations. You know, Hall of Flowers launched in, I think, 2018 or 2019. You know, it was really kind of the first brand and retail-focused event. It was very state-specific in California. But, you know, what we see is that this industry is going to be a national CPG industry, consumer packaged goods industry. And, you know, the most important trade show around that is going to be a brand and retail-focused event. And there really isn't anything in that space. There's, you know, very localized brand and retail events. And then there's national supply side events, but there's no national brand and retail focused event. And that was really kind of the basis of our business plan is that this event exists in the future and that we wanted to be the ones who manifest that, steward it, own it responsibly, and really make sure that it's something that adds value to the industry, that we're not going to be in business just to sell a ticket and sell a booth. But we want to understand how do we help companies be more successful in this space.
Totally. Well, I think, you know, when I was at MJ Biz in Vegas, I did come by the MJ Unpacked show and I didn't know much about it then. And obviously, you know, was at your event this year in New York and my team loved it and we obviously sponsored it. You know, talk to us a little bit about, I think, one, why you chose New York. Obviously, New York is, you know, big things are happening in the Northeast, but we're not there just yet. So what was the impetus to do New York now?
You know, we're really looking to build this today for the future tomorrow, so to speak. It kind of sounded like the Jetsons or something, right?
A little bit.
His dog Elroy or Astro the dog or his boy Elroy. So kind of, you know, really what we're looking to do is to establish this as a national focused event. So you know, I've done trade shows in Las Vegas for decades, and it's just a great place to do trade shows. You know, I was, when we brought MJ Biz back there in 2015 or 2014, when I took over, you know, it just really gives a lot of, you know, ground support. You have a huge abundance of hotel rooms, entertainment options. It's easy airport lift. I mean, there's, you know, cheap flights from just about anywhere in the country. And we really wanted to, you know, do something on the East Coast as kind of a bi-coastal, bi-annual type of event. When we booked both of the Mandalay Bay back for our October show last year and the Hilton in New York, both the hotels were closed. So we had to book those during the pandemic. The hotels were closed. When I finally got to Las Vegas to do a site inspection of the facility, and I've done shows there before, but just kind of a little bit of a dog and pony show you do with the hotel, they couldn't even open up the convention rooms because all the batteries had died on the electronic locks from not being used. So it was a little bit interesting kind of getting out there and kind of seeing when the market was going to start ramping back up again. But New York's just, you know, it's such an important state and they're doing things in such a unique way, but you know, it's not New York. It's really, that's the, you know, kind of epicenter of our banking systems and financial centers of the world, and access to capital is so critical for the cannabis industry. So we really felt that New York would be a good backdrop for us. And, you know, timing wise, you know, we had hoped that, you know, New York had legalized and set up the regulatory structure for cannabis before we got to our show, having booked it, you know, 18 months, you know, almost 2 years in advance. But it didn't. But I still think the timing was very serendipitous. People are super excited. They're just about to roll out regulations. New Jersey just issued a bunch of licenses. You saw after our show that Rhode Island passed adult use measures. And you know, everybody's trying to get out of California right now. You know, it's really, you know, difficult, you know, regulatory structure and they really haven't, and tax structure that's really making it hard for companies to survive. I must have met with at least a dozen brands that were at our show in New York that were California-based brands saying, I'm originally from the East Coast. I'm getting the hell out of California. I'm bringing my brand here so I can have a chance to survive.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, I've been reading a ton of, you know, articles about New York, and, you know, I think a lot of people are really predicting that, you know, the recreational sales will be bigger than California. I mean, I think they're saying that New York is going to be the epicenter for cannabis, you know, once things really start to get moving. So I'm obviously a New Yorker, so I'm very excited on this move, and we've been waiting a long time for it.
Yeah, I think New York can have a, I mean, you know, California was touted as like, you know, the largest global market, you know, and certainly, you know, you've probably seen some of the global economic data that like California as a state by itself would be like the fifth or sixth largest global economy. You know, it's a huge state and there's tons of brands there, but again, like they just, they were so convoluted in their regulatory structure that it has to be fixed and reset. And I don't know if the politicians out there really understand or are going to be able to effectively make those changes. So everybody's kind of, like I said, kind of choking on the vine out there a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, New York, I mean, you know, I believe that New York has more influence over Washington that will help accelerate any type of federal discussion to even just get safe banking, get rid of 280E. You saw that some of the larger companies in our space are going to be filing a suit against the federal government to allow interstate commerce to repeal 280E taxing on, mm-hmm. on cannabis companies. Could be huge. I mean, that could be tens of billions of dollars of capital return to our industry, which would be a huge growth potential for a lot of these brands in the space.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we're dealing with, you know, issues right now, especially with safe banking. Like, you know, I saw, I don't know, something this morning that like, you know, Schumer wasn't going to move on safe banking, and he's a Democrat because he wants to have, you know, everything else established for social equity first. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, not that I don't disagree with it, because social equity is so important, but at the same time, we're dealing with massive amounts of theft across the country. Because it's a cash business, right?
It's not just theft; it's murder. I mean, there.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's dangerous for employees. Like, we have to have some type of resolution where you can use a credit card, even if it's federally illegal, because it's a safety concern.
Yeah, know? I mean, three people have been killed in smash and grab, you know, dispensary robberies here in the state of Washington, where I'm based, just since the first of the year. I mean, these are $15 an hour retail employees that went to work that day and didn't come home, and
It's terrible.
It's criminal. And you know, let's call it what it is. I mean, our federal government is kind of fucked up. And I'm just going to say that they're completely inefficient in passing legislation. Everything has to be partisan. You know, gets polarized and everything else. And you know, if you kind of really look into it without going off on a diatribe, I mean, Citizens United was one of the worst things for our democracy ever. We need to get corporate money out of politics. We need to set term limits. And I think that those two things could potentially restore a more democratic process where people in Congress are doing the will of the people because they're elected by the people to pass legislation that supports their economies and the country. And, you know, everybody, we know the numbers, right? Like 80 or 90% of people think that cannabis should be legalized at this point. And it's not that everybody wants to smoke weed, but they just don't think it should be criminalized. We know we're putting a massive tax burden onto, you know, taxpayers to support, you know, incarcerating, you know, five to one people of color for nonviolent marijuana possession charges. There's 40,000 people. I mean, what does it cost to put, you know, each person to be in jail, you know, for a course of a year? Is it $40,000? That's $1.6 billion flushed down the toilet, or whatever, $160 billion if I did the math properly. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, it's really unfortunate that we're still here 10 years later, still talking about passing safe banking.
Nuts. Nuts. Okay. Back to MJ Unpacked.
All right. Off the shoebox.
But, you know, I agree with you. And I think we all of us in the industry kind of feel the same way.
Amen, brother.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming. So, George, I think, you know, one of the things that I kind of hang my hat on with my team all the time, and, you know, why we're out at conferences and, you know, events, is really building, you know, deep relationships, in-person relationships with folks that we want to do business with. And I feel like, you know, with the pandemic, I mean, it was a little scary at first because you're like, oh, shit, everything is going to now be during Zoom. And one of the things that we really kind of hang our hat on is, like, you know, being able to learn from people, hear them, you know, build relationships, go to dinner, take them on a cruise, whatever it might be. And we kind of lost that during COVID. So we had to think of a lot of ways to have that kind of one-on-one personal connection. And I feel like the last year kind of, I'm not going to say COVID's over, but obviously it's not as severe. Events came back on, right? And I think,
sure,
you know, for you guys, you know, we were at Trailblazers literally the week before MJ Unpacked, as we went from Sedona to New York. Mm-hmm. And so many people from Trailblazers were at MJ Unpacked. So it was very cool because it kind of felt like we were traveling with family, you know, business family. And
you were on summer camp.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it really felt like. And I think being able to be exposed to those people in two different locations in a very short period of time really kind of created a bond. And so,
yep,
you know, talk to us a little bit about your view on the relationship building and how you guys really bridge that gap with your events.
Well, that's everything. I mean, you know, so having, you know, been in the trade show space for 30 plus years, and the pandemic was a great opportunity to kind of really, you know, brainstorm how do we create an event that's, you know, better serving the audience that we're designed to serve. And the things that I think have really kind of separated MJ Unpacked, I mean, I'm a little bit overwhelmed, and our team's been very humbled by the fact that, like, people are like, this is the best event I've ever been to, and this is the new must attend event in the industry. And we've only done two. And, you know, so we're just getting started, so to speak. But we really kind of, this really is, I think, where MJ Unpacked separates itself from the crowd. And that we're designing this event with the end in mind. And so we want to understand what are the needs and objectives of the people that we're trying to serve, and make sure that we can do that successfully. We also know, just from our personal experience and, you know, observations, that, you know, deals get done by being able to have those intimate conversations, about being able to have a conversation and talk to somebody. It's not walking down endless aisles of booths and scanning your badge, or pretending you're on, my wife always talks about, you know, pretending you're on the phone so that you don't get stopped by like 12 people trying to sell you the same stuff.
Right.
And it's really that kind of intimate, you know, conversation that's going to facilitate any type of deal flow, any type of business opportunity, and really help lift up the industry. And so a couple of things that we really, you know, focused and hung our hat on around MJ Unpacked was, the first thing we did is we qualify every attendee that comes in the show to be a CPG brand or retail executive with the title of manager hire. So we're qualifying out the audience. So comparative to the other national shows that don't qualify their audience, like we're not going to have 20% of the people there looking for a job in the cannabis space because they think it would be cool. 20% of the people are there because they didn't want to buy a booth and they're just trying to sell the exhibitors. 40% of them are exhibitor staff, and maybe 10 to 15% left over might be, potential, targets for them. So by screening that out, we can make the event very hyper productive, right? This is focusing on how do we create a high return on objectives. And that's definitely been consistent feedback about how the quality of the conversations that everybody's having at our show are meaningful because they're talking to people that do their job. They're not bumping into somebody who's saying, hey, can I pick your brain for an hour? Because I'm thinking of getting in the cannabis industry. And Jeff, you've been in the space for a while. Like that's like painful to even listen to somebody say to you, like you can't break it down in an hour, all of the nuances and complexities of this industry. You have to, spend time in the industry and really understand it to understand how you provide a solution.
Totally. No, it makes a lot of sense. So, you have, I think upcoming, you've got an event in September.
Yeah.
So give us some insight on that. Where is it going to be? What are you planning? What do you guys have in store?
Well, and kind of just to finish up that previous question, I mean, like we design our event with a lot of soft seating throughout the event so people can kind of, grab a chair in a quiet corner and have a business conversation. We have like a bar set up so people can grab a drink like you're at a business hotel. We create a lot of like kind of unique activities around the event. We obviously have our gong, which people can bang when they get a deal done. If you heard anybody bang it, it's like the whole exhibit hall like roars like it's a bullfight. We've got some cool stuff coming into the Las Vegas show. I've got a mechanical blunt that I'm working with Cannabition on that people can ride the mechanical blunt and get a cowboy hat. We're going to have a puppy petting zoo. You can adopt a puppy if you want while you're there. And we got a few other tricks up our sleeve, but this is kind of where we shift our focus. So we're going to have a 3-day event. So the first day will be a full day of conference program. It gives us a little bit more time to dive deeper into topics that are really relevant to licensed operators and the people on stage are licensed operators. We never sell our stage. They have an opportunity to learn from their peers. We'll have some more focused breakout sessions so people can and round tables that can be very, very topic specific or even title specific. The needs of the CFO are different from the CMO versus the COO of these companies. So, we'll have some really cool content there. We have a partnership we just announced with Clio Cannabis Awards. And so Clio, which is the best known awards in the industry, really kind of celebrating brand excellence in the space, will be hosted on Thursday night of our event. And it'll be at the MGM Grand Convention Center, September 28th to 30th. And we've got smoking hotel rates. It's a great hotel, tons of restaurants. We'll be doing a big opening night party, probably at Hakkasan, that will be free for all of our attendees.
Love it. Quick question for you. So for MGM Pact, is the September event going to be instead of MJ Biz?
Yeah, that's a question I get asked a lot. So there was just, when we were going through the pandemic, there was a lot of things happening. And specifically is that, everybody in the event space had lost 100% of their revenues in 2020. They had to, call clients up saying, we can't refund your money. We're going to hold it over until we can do live events again. It was kind of a shit show. But I looked at it from the optics that we didn't lose 100% of our revenues because we didn't have any. And we were able to really kind of study where events were going to come back. We knew it was going to be probably at the end of Q2 2021, maybe Q3. And so I kind of saw that everybody, not just in the cannabis space, was going to have to kind of dogpile their events into this very short window of like September, like mid-September to early November. And so people wouldn't be going to an event this, every 2 months and going to different events in different parts of the country. They'd really kind of have to pick or choose one event to go to. And the way that we designed our event wasn't to try to steal audience from MJ BizCon, but we had talked to hundreds of brands and retail executives and investors, and they go to Las Vegas during MJ BizCon because it's a placeholder on their calendar, but they don't really waste their time going to the show anymore. I talked to over 300 executives, and 60% said they didn't bother going to the show, and about 30% said they spent less than an hour there. So we know that they're looking for the opportunity to have a very intimate gathering of high level decision makers in a single location, and it's disorganized and it's inefficient, and people spend half their week in a cab line or a hotel elevator. So what we were doing with MJ Biz is really being able to kind of highlight that very contrast event design against the backdrop of MJ BizCon to launch our show. But moving forward, and you saw the difference of how vibrant the audience was in New York versus Las Vegas. And that was because we had a captive audience. We weren't, you know, we didn't have other events going on. People didn't have other meetings across town, but people were there to be at the show because the audience was there and the decision makers were there and the people that they wanted to talk to were all in one central location. So moving forward, we don't see any need to kind of co-locate or rump MJ BizCon. We feel that they're a very successful supply side show and that they will continue to be. We're just going to be the best version of an event that is specifically geared towards brands, retailers, cultivators as well. I mean, once that cultivator puts their blood in a jar and slaps a label on it, it's a brand. And really have an event that is focused on what we consider the most important subsegment of this industry. And that's those retailers and brands that have a shared kind of journey of creating a safe, friendly, educational retail space, and then having a trusted, tested product that's going to deliver on its experience. And they're going to kind of intersect with the consumer. And we're either going to win somebody to this category or we're going to lose them. You know, some people come in and they have a Marine Dodd experience and never come back again. So we want to make sure that people, you know, really have the opportunity to support that segment of the industry.
Awesome. Well, listen, you guys are doing a great job. And, you know, I got a lot of great feedback coming out of the last event. So looking forward to the next ones. And
absolutely,
course, George, really appreciated you coming on today and making time for us at Alchemy.
Yeah, Jeff, thank you so much for hosting me. And we look forward to seeing you at the Las Vegas show. The New York show will be next April in back at the Hilton. We've got some pretty good plans. We're starting to plan out the event 3-4 years out now, and we're excited.
Awesome. All right, George, we'll see you then.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.